guest is Gaines Kirgeson. Gaines, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks.
You're welcome. What do you do?
I'm a solutions architect for Vantic Digital. I design solutions and hand it off to developers to create.
All right. And what are you worth? I'm joking because we were having this conversation about marketing yourself.
Sure.
And knowing your worth and communicating that. Tell me, let's expand that. What were we talking about?
Well, I think a lot of developers aren't really aware of how the market has progressed in the last few years, especially, I mean, over the past 10 years overall. And in general, I think it's reasonable for senior level developers to be expecting over six figures. That's why I started giving the talk, is so many people are undervalued, and employers know what we're worth, and recruiters know what we're worth, but we're not supposed to talk
about
that.
We don't know what we're worth.
Exactly.
Interesting. There's a lot of surveys out there that'll kind of give you an idea. Are people not reading those, or are they just too hard to read?
I think it's difficult to know if the data you're finding is accurate.
Okay. Well, so if somebody's listening to this and they ask themselves, how much am I worth? How can they go about answering that question?
One easy way is to go to glassdoor.com, and you can do a search on keywords for jobs, and people go there and post their salaries.
Okay.
So you can see, it's more difficult for more rural areas, but for major cities, a lot of companies have we have been over 100 salaries posted for positions where you can get an idea of what those people are getting paid.
Oh, posted by the companies or by individuals?
By individuals.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. And then you were talking about ways that you can sort of increase your value by increasing your exposure, marketing yourself, essentially.
Sure.
You do a whole talk on that, right?
It's really about perception as reality, right? So if nobody knows your value, then it really doesn't matter what your value is because you're not going to receive that. Part of that is establishing a brand around yourself. You're not just an employee of whatever company you're with at the time. You're valuable talent, and you've got more to offer than just a specific skill set. Especially now these days when technical skills are being outsourced, soft skills and the ability to understand businesses and interface with customers is very valuable.
Well, that's interesting. So you talk about outsourcing. I think about outsourcing to lower cost markets. India or China or maybe Eastern Europe, you're never going to compete on price with those guys.
I wouldn't want to try.
Right. Yeah, and if you tried, you'd probably starve because you have to live here in the U.S. It's just more expensive to live here. So you have to differentiate yourself in some other way. Is that what you're telling? Is that the message you're giving?
That, and also I think it's almost a altruistic cycle or beneficial cycle where as you brand yourself and market yourself more, you become more aware of what your strengths are and what things you need to work on in order to be who you want to be. So you almost build this image of who you want to be professionally, and that makes you work harder to fill out that image.
All right. So how do I brand myself? Give me some tips.
The bullet list is really get a domain name, get an online presence.
Okay.
Domain names are under $15 a year. Then you can attach to that your resume, a blog. Everything online should really funnel into that domain name so that anybody who wants to find information about you can find it in one place.
Okay, that's pretty good, except that just having that online doesn't mean anybody's going to read it.
No, you really need to put content out there, and that's why blogging is important. Anything you do in your job where you struggle with it or you're interested in it, there's probably somebody else out there who's struggling with the same thing or interested in the same topic, and if you share that, then that's what brings people in and sets a reputation in the community for being active.
Is that what you're doing?
I'm working on it. I'm not as great at blogging regularly as I should be.
What's your blog?
My blog is dotnetdude.net, D-O-T-N-E-T, dude.net.
Okay.
I actually spend more of my time speaking. I speak at conferences once or twice a month. So I fall down on the blogging a bit, but I like the interpersonal interaction where I get to meet a lot of people who are extremely intelligent as other speakers and learn from them.
Okay. And that works. People remember you because you've got a face-to-face interaction with you, and you've established some professional credibility because you're speaking on a technical topic.
And I don't know about you, but when we go to hire people, it's as or more important what their personality is and how they would work with the team as what technical skills they have. And that's something you get to establish when you network people in person.
Interesting. I agree with that, actually. I think you'll hit a ceiling if you don't have some kind of if you're not a good team player, if you're not able to share your knowledge with others, if you're not able to integrate your work with others. What else can we do?
Well, business cards are something most people overlook. They just assume they should take the ones that the company gives them and hand those out.
They shouldn't.
But when you leave that company, that information is no good for contacting you anymore. It doesn't build your personal brand. So I'm a big fan of getting your own cards made. They don't have to be extravagant. They don't have to have a lot of info. They just need your name, email, maybe phone number, and your website. And they can find any other information they need off that website. And I like leaving a blank space, too. So when you meet people, you can write on there, met at CodeStock, talked about,
yeah,
whatever.
I do that a lot. I've been frustrated by the shiny ones that you can't write on. is it bad to have a fancy business card?
I've gotten a lot of compliments on mine.
Let me see yours. This is such a small thing, but but you're saying it's a big impact. You've got it's all black. It's very plain. It's just just his name.
It'd be a little hard to see on the camera, but there's a glossy at and .net because that's my email address is my name with an at and a .net.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's it's almost like gray on black, just different texture. It has the at and .net, but the name stands out. And on the back you have, on the back we have, looks like a phone number. I don't have my glasses on. But
phone number and the blog. Web address.
Web address, okay.
And obviously you can embellish it with QR codes or logos or whatever you
need. And a big spot for writing paper. And there's not much else on here. There's no logo. There's no company name. That's all missing.
For me, I was going the simplistic approach, and this is very generic. So whatever I'm doing, whatever my interest or my focus is at the moment, I can write that on there. And I'm not, my business card isn't a single purpose.
Good. I've seen some people have their photograph on their business card. What do you think about that?
If I liked my photographs better, maybe I would do that. It depends on how photogenic you are.
There are industries where that, like the real estate industry, they always have a photograph.
Maybe I could get a body double to take a photograph to put on my business card.
If you know any really good models, they would pose it for you and wear a Gaines mask. But I digress. What else? What about social media? We should probably be establishing a presence on social media.
Well, I think everybody knows by now that LinkedIn is almost a necessity in the tech industry. That's how most people connect. People look on there to see who you know in common, what recommendations, obviously your employment history. It's important to fill that out. But beyond that, there's a lot of communities.
Let's go back to LinkedIn before we leave there. Because I'm on LinkedIn, and when I changed jobs, which I did last year, I updated it. But beyond that, I don't spend a lot of time there. Am I making a mistake?
I don't spend an incredible amount of time on LinkedIn, but there's a lot of value there to be had. There's groups where people discuss topics.
Okay.
They just released, I understand, in the past week, a blogging feature to where it can actually be a full-fledged blogging engine.
Okay, so some people, I already have a blog, so I wouldn't worry about that. But all right, go on.
Also, it might be worth mentioning that in those groups, not only is there a lot of great information, but something I've begun trying to do is whenever I find a topic that's of interest or relevant to what I'm doing, even if I don't have something to contribute, I try to ask a question that will evoke more conversation just to get involved in the conversation.
Sure. All right. What about some of the more social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, things like that?
I find myself using Twitter more when I'm at events to connect with people at the event and share information about that. And then obviously when I'm working on things or when I post a blog article, you want to make that visible. In fact, visibility is really the key to this whole thing.
Okay.
Making your past accomplishments visible to current and future employers, making what you're doing in the community visible to everybody who wasn't at that specific event. That's the big key.
Okay. Do you ever Google yourself?
I don't usually, but that is one of the first steps is to figure out what's online about yourself. And
so you recommend it?
Absolutely. And there's a nice feature called Google Alerts where you can create an alert that would email you whenever new results come up. And I think everybody should probably create an alert for their name or something unique about them to where when something new comes up online, you know about it.
Yeah, I do that. I want to know if something's published about me, I'd like to know what it is. And usually it's, I won't say it's positive things, but it's almost never negative stuff.
I was talking to a speaker the other day who has the same name as a child molester. And he said, unfortunately, when you search his name, that's one of the things that comes up. That would be a good thing to know that might pop up on the internet.
It would be good to know, but I remember the keynote last night, he said we should distinguish between the things that we know that we can do things about versus what we can do nothing about. That sounds like something that would be hard to do something about.
Maybe just a disclaimer, like that. If you find that guy, that's not me.
Actually, I can think of something. If you're very active on your blog or in speaking or things that are going to get pushed out through the search engines, you could push the bad stuff, whether it's you or somebody with your name, push that down to pages 2, 3, and 4
mm-hmm.
of the search engine results. So there might actually be a way that you could do something about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else? What else did you talk about in your talk? What was the title of your talk?
My talk yesterday was how to be a six-figure developer.
Okay.
And we've just covered a lot of the high points of that. And then usually in that talk, we do a lot of discussion about what projects people have done in the past and how to measure those accomplishments.
Oh, let's talk about that. So you're going to say measure the accomplishments, meaning how much value am I adding to my employer or to my customer, right?
Correct. I mean, the easiest one would be if you increase the sales of a company. That's an easy metric to capture.
Okay.
Some of the more difficult ones might be if you create a disaster recovery plan, mm-hmm. that's not going to generate any revenue, but there's still maybe some way to measure the cost you've mitigated and losses mm-hmm. in the future.
Okay.
Same thing with eliminating positions. If you've increased efficiency and now you've got an employee who half of their day is no longer spent doing a task, then you've effectively saved half that employee's salary.
Right. They're freed up to do something else. Interesting. So we should all be doing some calculation like that.
And it's important to think about that as you do these things, because once you leave that employer, it's difficult to go back later and say, hey, can you give me those sales numbers for what the work I did with you?
So when does that come into play? So now I know if I were able to do that calculation, figure out how much money I'm either making or saving for a company, can I? Is it okay for me to approach my boss and say, hey, I deserve a raise because of this, or do I need to leave in order to get it from somebody else?
I encourage, if you're in the same position you were, say doing the same job you were 2 or 3 years in a row, then that's the time to change jobs. It doesn't mean changing employers. That's where you could go to your boss, and I would treat it almost like an interview. You know, you're presenting the image of what job you want or what sort of compensation you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get it, then you know, and you can decide whether to move on. I put that on my resume as well. When I talk about job experience, I put what skills I worked with, what the project was about, but yep. I try to focus on the benefits I provided, because to a future employer, that's really what's going to hook them is mm-hmm. this guy saved $300,000 a year. If he can do that with my company, I can afford to pay him.
Yeah, I think it also communicates that you're thinking about the companies, what benefit to the company. And that's what customers want. They want their goals to be your goals.
Very good
they don't
point.
Want you just to get through the task. They want you to think about saving money or making money. Or
mm-hmm.
Anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
What I'm working on more now is trying to get into more of the API management and governance space. I'm scheduled to do several talks on that topic, one at Code on the Beach in Florida in August. So that should be a lot of fun. But if anybody has interest in that topic, I'd love to talk with them about it.
We'll do that next time. You'll be a DevLink, right?
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that. Remind me that I said that, because
okay.
I'd love to get it back on the show. In the meantime, Gaines, thanks so much.
Thanks. Well, if you're heading to DevLink, to all my friends, we'll see you there. Look forward to talking technology.